It is 8:05. We're awaiting Ryan Smeltz from Fox News to give us an update on the tragedy at Reagan National. If you're just awake or just checking in on the news, there was a tragedy last night around 9 p.m. A Black Hawk helicopter that was on a training mission collided with an American Airlines airplane. Had about 64 passengers. We believe there were three military members on the Black Hawk. They are now saying they don't believe there are survivors. Earlier this morning, there was a rumor that there were four. But Ryan's going to give us an update as soon as he joins us. In the interim of all that, Dope Sax is here. You've heard of him before, right? Dope, how
hey,
are you?
Hey, good morning.
Dope, you look cold.
You know me.
Yeah.
It's chilly out today.
So I don't know what you would have done last night. Our heat went out at about 5 o'clock. And
5 p.m.?
Yeah, 5 p.m. So I don't know what you'd have done at my house because it got down pretty low.
How low did it go?
I don't know. It felt good to me. When I got up this morning, I was like, wow, this is great, you know, because I would sleep with the windows open. I wouldn't even run the heat except to keep the pipes from not freezing. But Didi, on the other hand, is like you and wears sweaters when it's 100 degrees, so it's a compromise.
Yep.
Brad Dyer is here. Yeah. Brad, how you doing?
Good. Yeah, Dove's always got a hat on, comfortable. Yeah. I'd have sweat dripping down my head if I had a hat on right now. I couldn't do it.
40% of your heat you lose out of your head.
Yeah that's true. Yeah. It is true.
And I don't have any hair on it.
Hot head. Oh, you got no hair?
I mean, it's not. I haven't hidden my head from you.
I'm not sure I've ever paid attention.
There we go.
Okay, no, you got some hair.
I mean, it's there, but it's just a shave with a zero is how I get my hair cut.
I got just a big forehead.
What are you talking about? You get plenty of hair on your head.
Yeah. I mean, I could grow it, but my hairstyle is to have none.
Well, that's cool.
That's a great hairstyle.
You know what that sounds like?
It's an easy personal
choice. Low maintenance.
Very quickly, introduce your guest.
My guest is my brother from another mother, David Whitney.
Good morning, Doe. Good morning, Ray.
Yeah, David, good to see you.
You an attorney?
And we're going to get to you in just a moment here, but
No, I wouldn't bring an attorney in here.
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Smeltz is joining us right now from Fox News to give us an update on the tragedy at Reagan National. Ryan, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So what can you tell us? What is the latest?
We just got an update from the press conference. You had Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy there. You had officials from D.C., both fire and the city there. They have recovered 28 people so far, 27 people from the plane, one person from the helicopter. They have moved this from a search and rescue effort to a recovery effort, and they believe right now there are no survivors.
Yeah, so we understood earlier, correct me if I'm wrong, there were three military members on the Black Hawk helicopter?
That's correct, yes.
And 64 passengers, including captain and crew, on the American Airlines flight?
Four crew members, 60 passengers total, yes.
So, you know how the world works. There are a multitude of conspiracies already and blame game and all this kind of stuff. But what are some facts you can offer us about potentially what happened here? Do we know anything yet? Or is this simply just a tragic accident because so many planes take off and land at Reagan all the time?
Well, these are all questions that are going to be talked about. Certainly, one thing that Duffy said, number one, you saw the statement yesterday from President Trump saying that he believes this was preventable. Secretary Duffy literally just said, from what he's seen so far, the crash was absolutely preventable. He does say that he believes it's the safest airspace in the world the United States has. They are expected to still open up Reagan at 11 o'clock from what it looks like. But in terms of the people who are on board, we understand there are members of the figure skating, U.S. Figure Skating Association, who were in Wichita, I guess, for an event. They were on board. We don't know how many, but obviously it's very concerning. And we're still trying to learn more about the victims and all that. Yeah, this is still very early, guys.
Yeah, no. We're not even, we're not even 12 hours old yet. This happened roughly around 9 o'clock last night. It's 8:10. Eastern time right now. Yeah. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, did the Congress increase the number of flights that could go out of Reagan, which means they go in a much more rapid succession than what they were doing? Did they do that last year, or am I wrong about that?
Congress just reauthorized the FAA, and I believe, yes, they did increase air traffic out of Reagan. You know, one thing that's interesting is that I can't tell you how many times I've been in this building, and we would have somebody testifying before a relevant congressional committee about these near crashes and about airline safety and how they reauthorized the FAA with the emphasis on making these things safer, and now we're seeing this crash happen. I mean, we got a lot of questions here, and this is going to be a lot for a long time because, I've flown out of that airport before. I think I've flown on a very similar flight to the one that crashed, American Airlines flight, about 70 passengers or so, in and out of Reagan. Yeah, this is freaky for a lot of people just to see this happen. Obviously, just as tragic when you think about the people who are on board, but also that the fact that so many of us have traveled that route and been in and out of that airport, and a lot of members of Congress have too. Yeah. I mean, this is big.
Ryan, I'm reading. This is Dove. Good morning. I'm reading something on X that I don't know. Just for want your take on it. It says we need to know who was on the plane, and hopefully it wasn't anybody about to testify in important matters, etc. Plane was on predictable track and assigned to a runway rarely used, per ABC News report tonight. Helicopter flew irregular path, then rose to meet altitude of plane and changed direction to intercept in the last few seconds of flight. Maximum allowed height for the helicopter was 200 feet, which is where it was until 37 seconds before impact. Surging from 200 feet to 350 feet just seconds before impact is a deliberate maneuver and takes considerable power to climb. You hearing anything related to that kind of stuff?
Duffy may have just said that, or the officials may have just said that. Duffy was saying that he thinks this was a standard. It looked like it was a standard flight pattern both of them were on. But obviously, clearly not if they weren't supposed to be doing that at that specific time because it led to a crash. So
right.
Something screwed up here.
Yeah.
Right? But we don't know what it was.
Yeah, and I know you're in high demand because we wanted you on at 6:07, so I'm going to let you go.
Yeah.
But we'll try to check in with you tomorrow and get an update on what we know more. Everybody is talking about this everywhere. This is an unusual thing. It happens a lot in Asia and places like that, but this is an unusual thing in this country. And it shakes people because this is different than a natural disaster of maybe birds flying into the engines or something like that. These are two vehicles I'll use. One is a helicopter, one is a plane, crashing into each other where you have human beings directing all of this. And so it is unsettling for people, really unsettling. Are you going to be over at Reagan when they reopen and see what people are saying?
Well, probably, probably not. I mean, we got a lot going on here on Capitol Hill.
No, we hadn't heard that, Ryan.
Yeah.
Today's Cash Patel, yeah. Right?
Cash Patel, Tulsi Gabbard, and RFK's back.
Yeah. Yeah, there will be no fireworks with those three people whatsoever. Were you there yesterday?
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was there yesterday, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll say this about RFK. With RFK, I don't know if there's anybody else in this in politics maybe has the fanfare both in terms of people who like him and people who hate him, because the overflow room just to get in to watch on a different screen was insane. There were so many people here yesterday. You had the Make America Healthy Again hats. You had Make Polio Great Again hats. It was quite the spectacle seeing him on Capitol Hill yesterday and the people that came out to see him.
Let me ask you this, and I know I'm asking you to get into the head of some people, and they happen to be United States senators. Why the anger from the female Democratic senators? It's one thing to ask tough questions. Elizabeth Warren, Jeanne Shaheen, they were just viscerally angry. You could see it on their face. Why are they angry at asking what are supposed to be informative questions of a nominee of the president? Why was their visceral anger and yelling at him?
I mean, I think yesterday, with abortion still being a hot button issue, it seems like a lot of them are trying to get a stance on abortion and get behind it because, he's been pro-choice his whole life. But I think they want to see if he's going to maintain that position with President Trump. I think one thing that he's opposite of President Trump with, which I thought was an interesting answer he gave, Bernie Sanders asked him about climate change, and RFK Purdue said, yep, the president and I have just agreed to disagree on this issue.
Well, the thing about abortion is Roe sent it back to the states, and the Hyde Amendment prevents federal money from funding abortion. So what the hell difference does it make?
I think the real issue.
Yeah, and I think with this one, too, he was kind of put in a tough place with this because this was the thing that we kind of expected Republicans to really grill him on. And that still stands. I mean, his answers on abortion were going to be key to getting Republicans on board. And, he got the grilling from Democrats, too.
I think the biggest thing they're mad about is just the personal feeling of losing the Kennedy name. Yeah. And he potentially.
Did you see Caroline Kennedy's video? Did you see the video, Ryan?
I didn't see the video. I just saw the letter.
Woo. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Somebody don't like her cousin.
Well,
very much.
She called him
a predator.
And it's just to lose the Kennedy name in the Democrat Party is a big deal. He potentially was the difference maker in the election as well.
Yeah, he could have been.
And just there's something about one of your own leaving the team like the way that he did, but it's their own fault, right? He had calls. I mean, Trump worked him for a year. Kamala and Biden wouldn't take his call.
Yeah.
And he had no choice
Drudge's headline yesterday was heroin addict to lead HHS.
What's happened to Drudge?
I mean, it's so gone. Ryan, I know you got to go. I appreciate you being on. We'll grab you tomorrow and get an update.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks a lot. Ryan Smeltz, Fox News, Capitol Hill. Drudge is gone. Drudge is not what it was. Matt's gone. And because Matt left, he sold it, he cashed out.
He doesn't have anything to do with it anymore?
I think he's still a little bit involved, but he does not control it. It's Drudge is not what it was. And, yeah, that was the headline on Drudge yesterday. Heroin addict to lead HHS.
It's a pretty big deal.
I thought redemption was something that we were supposed to believe in. I mean, he was on drugs. He got sober. He now has sobriety. And I thought we were supposed to celebrate that.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, unless you're Drudge.
When it's convenient.
Or progressive.
So can we give David a proper intro here?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's do that.
All right, great.
David, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, first, just give it the context here. David's got, he's got a lot going on. One is his family goes way back in Washington County and is just a real staple in the community there, business-wise. So a lot of different businesses, successful family businesses. And then David's just been, just an energizer in many different efforts. And now he's the Republican National Committeeman, which I know, Ray, you were very impressed with his campaign and how he ran that. And
yeah.
And so he's very much, a part of the future for our efforts to flip this state in a couple years. And it's just an honor to have him here.
Yeah, I want to give that some shape and context. So today's the first day I've met you, as far as I know.
We did meet at the state convention.
Oh, we did.
We shook hands.
Forgive me.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Forgive me. But I didn't know you prior to the state convention then. How's
correct.
That? And so my friend David Jones, who's been my friend for two decades, you and he ran for national committee man.
Yes.
And I pulled up on Thursday night to get set up to broadcast for 2 days. And I called David and I said, I think this is over. And he's like, what are you talking about? I said, David Whitney is running a primary style campaign here. And I was blown away by it. I'd never seen it happen before. And then I learned later on, correct me if I'm wrong, you made like 1,000 phone calls to people.
We called every delegate.
Yeah. So, well, that's was 2000 then. So they're just extraordinary. Yeah. So you ran a campaign for National Committee Man I've never seen the likes of before, and it was very impressive. And I said that to Dove, and I, of course, said that to David. David being one of my dearest friends, and I did not know you. I backed David Jones because I think he's a good man. You actually did him a favor by beating him in that race because he got to go out to Milwaukee and be part of the platform committee, which is what he really wanted to do. So it all worked out. Everybody won. You won. He won. Everybody won.
Yeah.
But that was the most vigorous, well-run campaign for National Committee Man I've ever seen.
Wow. I appreciate that.
It was impressive. It really was.
I appreciate
it. It's like I said to David later on when we were back from the convention, that race was over before he announced he was running. We just didn't know it.
Actually, he announced that he was running before that I did.
But you were already working. My understanding was you were working in January.
No.
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 Okay, I bad intel then.
No.
One of the people that endorsed you told me that he endorsed you in January. So, okay, no big deal. Anyhow, regardless of all that.
No, I didn't even know.
You ran a wonderful campaign, and that's why you won.
Yeah. Well, there's always a backstory.
Great. So those are the good ones.
Actually, if we're going to get into the backstory, I better take off my overshirt here.
Get comfortable. Oh,
this could be, this could be bad.
Anyone having some stogies here?
So I've always been interested in politics. And it comes because I come from a long line of family business. And when you're
literally is taking off his coat. This is good.
We can hear it somehow.
You just start to get worked up. You get warm, right?
It's usually warm in here too.
The blood starts flowing. You got to take off the.
Hey, just stop at the jacket, okay?
Uniform, right?
Yes, let's stop with the jacket.
Please
no more clothes removed. Please
get the fan out.
Show.
Get that fan redirected.
Excuse me.
Out.
Let me take my boots off.
Somebody threatened yesterday that if I ran for governor, they would run up to the Blaine House naked. I'm like, no, we don't want that.
It's never happened. Sure, okay.
So, always been in business. Always been interested in politics since I can remember. In fact, I remember taking stickers. I don't know where I got the stickers, but somehow I got some stickers when Ford Dole was running in 1976. I was 10. And I was running around town knocking on doors, handing out Ford Dole stickers. And in fact, I remember there was a car going by on Cooper Street close to my home. And Ford Dole. I took a sticker and I slapped it on their bumper as they went by.
So hardcore from the beginning.
Could have been the first law that I broke.
Best campaign ever.
So we have a lot in common then, because 4 years before, when I was 10, that's when I first got involved, and I put Nixon stickers in 1972 out.
That's wild.
And there's a long story to that I'll tell you off air.
Well, one thing the reason why I thought you guys would really hit it off is you both speak about your dads with a certain reverence, similarly. And you're just mentioning the businesses, but maybe you could give a little background to the family business.
Okay, so we're going to go all the way back. The Whitneys moved from southern Maine in the 1700s to Jonesboro, literally to greener pastures. There was fires.
Yeah, Jonesboro is beautiful.
There were fires in southern Maine. So they took their cattle and they said, we're hoofing it. And they went to Jonesboro, and there was marsh hay in the area, and then one young enterprising Whitney went down to Callis and got involved in the lumber industry, and so he said, there's a river close to home, and it's called the Machias River, and so that was how they transported logs.
Right.
And he started his lumber company in what is now the town of Whitneyville. And very slender, small.
Oh, my God. A Jeff Timberlake story is coming. Since 1803, Ricker Hill Farm.
Here we go. This goes farther
This goes
back.
Further back.
Way farther.
Yeah, I love that.
We're 1700.
Oh, every time Timberlake comes. Do you know Timberlake?
Oh, yeah.
Every time he comes here, we hear about the 1803 Ricker Hill Farm.
All right, come on. Back to Whitney.
No, we will. But, I just wanted to make that acknowledgement.
Yeah. Ricker Hill doesn't have their own town.
If I'm gonna bust on Jeff, I got to bust on David.
He does. He has Turner.
Here we
go. It's okay. It's all right. So anyway, the Whitneys moved to Washington County in the 1700s, and in typical Washington County style, we just have to piece together a living. Right. That's just the way it rolls, and you roll with the seasons.
1700s, 2025.
Here you go.
Same thing.
Yeah,
same thing. There's no different. My great grandfather had the first Dodge agency. It was in Pembroke, little teeny town. There were car dealerships everywhere back in the day. And Carol Fisher was his name. He was a fur trader. He was a fisherman. He was a teacher. He was a board member at Eastport Savings Bank, and he had this car dealership. So stringing it all together.
Cool.
And he helped.
You and Jones have a lot in common. He runs F.O. Bailey, and Frederick Oliver Bailey was that same sort of person that you're talking about that strung all this together, which is how F.O. Bailey's been here for 200
David's
years.
David's still doing it. Wait till you hear.
No. But I'm just saying that's what had happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot in common here.
And so Carol Fisher helped his daughter and son-in-law, Millard Whitney and Dorothy, start a car dealership in Machias. And it was Chrysler, Plymouth, Dodge, and Jeep. And they built a building on the riverside in 1951 and had their car dealership. And Graham, he didn't like the office. Maybe he didn't like being around my grandmother that much. So he started buying blueberry land in the 40s. And that got him out of the office, more of this seasonal piece. And so he started acquiring blueberry land. My father entered onto the scene, dynamic salesman. He was a good car salesman. A lot of stories about him. The Whitneys were always Democrats.
Mm.
And my father, Dorothy, my grandmother, she was a Republican. Carol Fisher was a Republican. But somehow the Whitney influence changed my grandfather to think she should be a Kennedy Democrat. And as we know now, Kennedy Democrat, JFK would be a
Republican,
a right-wing,
for sure. No doubt.
Zealot. Right-wing zealot at this
His
point.
Policies certainly
yeah.
were.
And so Dad grew up as a Democrat and hated it. He was more of a libertarian than anything.
Mm.
And in the 90s, he changed his party affiliation to Republican. My mother was always Republican and quiet, but whispering in my ear. Mm. So that's where it started for me. But just, you know, it's common sense. It's common sense that
right.
you're a Republican. It's just the way it rolls. And my first vote was for Ronald Reagan in 1984. I was in high school. Business started 1974 when my cousin Bob Foster, who owns Freshies, convenience stores all over the state, Foster Energy in Hamden. He wrestles me to the ground. I'll exaggerate a little bit here. He has me on the ground. It's Thanksgiving, 1974. He's got me almost snuffed out. Hand over my face. I'm like, you know, almost choked out right there. And I interrupt in the middle of it, and I said, what's that smell on your hand?
Yeah.
And he said, it's pitch, balsam pitch. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, it's pitch from balsam branches that I break, and I sell them to Flo's, and she makes wreaths and sells wreaths. And I said, what do you get paid for that? And he says, yeah, I break branches, and I sell the tips. And this idea came on, the light bulb. And I'm thinking, tips gets money, but that gets candy. So I went home, and I grabbed a sandwich bag, and I go out back and I climb a spruce tree, and I'm sitting on this branch, inching out on this branch, and I'm picking the needles off the spruce tree, putting it in the sandwich bag.
Yeah.
Come in, and I said to Mom, take me to Flo's. I've got some tips to sell. Hold it up. You know, it probably looked like a nickel bag.
Yeah, nickel bag of tips.
Yeah, nickel bag of tips. Spruce needles. So we go to Flo's.
I gotta pause you here. I want to hear the rest of this because
okay.
it sounds like a great story. We have got to go to break. It is 8:29. We'll be right back with the gang. At Community Pharmacy, we can provide all your durable medical equipment needs. We can also provide all your incontinence needs as well as your hospice care needs discreetly and delivered right to your door. Go to communityrx.com to find out more.
Did you know that starting May 7th, 2025,